Hello once again and welcome back to the Vox Pop, WAMC's live daily afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Alan Chartok. Are we looking at a Trump-Sanders face-off in a year? Will the Donald emerge victorious with a GOP nomination? Still has a solid lead in the polls. Although Dr. Carson's coming up fast. And will Hillary crash and burn over Emailgate? Or will she finally push past it? She started to slip in the polls. And in state politics, California lawmakers have approved a bill to allow doctors to prescribe life-ending medication to patients, scoring a small victory for the Death with Dignity movement. The governor has yet to sign the bill, but could this have a ripple effect throughout the nation? Only four states, Oregon, Washington, Montana, and Vermont allow it, but there are pending bills in state legislatures elsewhere, including New York. Let's talk about these headlines. Up to you. Hey, folks, I'm depending on you. This is Alan, and I'm sitting here all alone without you. And without you, it's nothing. You could also post comments by sending us a Vox Pop missile at VoxPop at WAMC.org, and there you are. So love having your comments. Love having you with us. Let's go to Eli in Utica. Okay, Eli, you're on.
Hey, Alan.
Hey.
This morning's show, you had a robust conversation concerning who should progressives vote for, Hillary or Bernie. Now, I love Bernie as much as anybody. He's a true progressive. But I question what people, which of the two people should vote for when I consider that if Karl Rove were in the voting booth during primary day and he could guide your hand, and he would have every progressive vote for Bernie because it would be the death knell of our Democratic presidency. Bernie would be, if you think the attacks on Obama are vicious, Bernie's would be massively more intense. He would be positioned as a Marxist, a Leninist, someone who's going to alter the free market economy that we have. The middle of America, he would not have a prayer in winning the states that Obama won, like Ohio or Wisconsin, Michigan, on and on. It would be the death knell for putting Bernie in. And sad to say, but Hillary is the best chance we have for keeping the White House in Democratic hands.
Okay, Eli, it's a very good comment. As you know, I've announced that I'm going to vote because I want everybody to know where I'm coming from, not because I'm trying to support him here. I'm going to vote for Bernie. Here's my thinking, for whatever it's worth. Bernie ran for city council. He was rejected, but he made it. Then he ran for his next thing. He got to be the mayor. Then he got to be the congressman. Everybody said, "What, a Jewish guy from Brooklyn as a United States senator from Vermont, and then he wins that." I'm not going to sit here and tell you he can't win. I'm just not. But you make a very good point. The people who aren't with Hillary, I think, feel that it's the same old, and it's the same old ruling elite who are running everything in the country. But I hear you, because there are going to be lots of seats on the Supreme Court coming up. You're absolutely right, and there's a great deal at stake here. So I think the way that you've set it all up is very good. Thank you for doing that.
Well, thank you, Alan. And I do feel that Hillary's presidency would be different than her husband's. I think she's more progressive than Bill. And I disagree with the people who, want to say that she's owned by the banks, which I heard this morning, and yeah, she's owned by Wall Street. I think that her presidency would be much more progressive than her husband's.
Well, take a look.
Her husband has learned a lot of lessons, too.
Yeah, Eli, take a look at who gives her the money right now. As John R. Arbuckle said quite early in the game, you get what you pay for. Eli, thank you so much for calling.
Thanks,
appreciate
Alan.
It. Yeah, bye-bye. 1-800-348-2551 and Jamie from Ellenville. Hiya, Jamie.
Hey, Alan. I was almost going to say, I wish we weren't talking about people and we were talking about issues now, to actually leave the names out of the conversation. Because every time we're in this position, by the time January rolls around, all the time we spent talking about the Giulianis and the Harts and, we're so, wasted time. We could have been talking about something important.
Can I interject and say I don't agree?
Sure,
with,
absolutely.
I don't agree with you. I respect you, but I don't agree with you. And the reason for that, Jamie, is that the future of the nation here is in the hands of whoever we elect. The head guy or woman sets the agenda for what's going to happen.
I agree.
So the fact that we're having this democratic discussion, and I mean small d, of course, leading to who is fit to lead this country and why becomes very important.
Yeah, but Alan, my point is that we focus so much on the personality that we lose sight of those issues that will frame our reference to that person. Like, if we start to really focus on the issues, Donald Trump has no place to go. You know, and, you know, facts become more important than personalities, and that's where we should be. Like, I'm really very concerned about this immigration issue, the refugee issue, and, like, I feel like I'm seeing Kaczynski's The Painted Bird taking place, and I'm really worried about that part of the world.
Well, I want you to go out and read James Barber, Presidential Character. Okay, that's the name of the book. Best book I think has ever been written on the presidency. Jamie, a lot of people behind you. Thank you for calling. Appreciate it.
I understand. Have a good one.
Bye. Let's go to Harriet in Woodstock. Harriet, you're on.
Hello, Alan.
Hi.
Hi. One thing in particular I wanted to mention, when we bring up the polls all the time, and I've answered poll questions, and I've had people, you know, call me up, and it's just been so interesting that I think for any poll to be understood or be valid is to know the questions that they asked, because what I found was they would say an either or a yes or a no or this or that, and half the time that wasn't, neither of those answers was the answer I would give, but it was the it was what the poll presented to be have an opinion on. So I think the polls are very unreliable if you don't know, and I think they're unreliable anyway. But if you don't know what the original question was.
Okay, Harriet, I don't agree with you either.
Oh, no.
No, I think it's terrific you're calling. Here's what. With some regularity, the polls are right spot on during elections, for example. They tell you what's going to happen, and they almost always adhere to what you saw was happening. Now, you're right. Polls are only snapshots at a particular moment, and there are all kinds of polls. I don't answer them at home for a good reason. I don't want to. I'm just a little scared of who's on the other end of the phone. Oh. And now we have things like pull polls, push polls, people who call up and say, "Did you know that Bernie Sanders was a Marxist-Leninist?" or whatever they're going to say to that. Those are not really polls. So I think you have every right to feel somewhat skeptical. And it is true that the way in which the poll question is presented will lead to the next day's headline in the New York Times. Take a look at today's New York Times poll, and you'll see exactly what I mean and what you mean. Thank you, Harriet. Appreciate it.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, let's go to Guven. Guven in Clifton Park. Is it Guven?
Yes, Guven. Alan, thanks for taking my call. I'm just going to tell you Donald Trump's future, what's going to happen.
Be careful here. There's some things you don't want to say on the radio. Go ahead.
He's been talking very nice. People would like to hear. It's nice to say, I'm going to build a wall and charge it to Mexico. These are wonderful things. People miss these kind of things. But he's a comedian, and I don't want to insult the comedians, by the way. They're good people. Anyway, it's difficult to corner him right now among 17 candidates. In debates or something, his real picture is not going to come out. When he narrows down to debate with two person, just one and one, either with Democrats or either with the last guy in Republican, people are going to ask him real questions. How are you going to negotiate with Congress? How are you going to negotiate with Mexico? How are you going to negotiate with Russia?
Okay, but
There's no substance. Well, you know what's going to happen? He's going to be embarrassed, and he will pull himself out.
He will not be embarrassed, Guven. he's not going to be embarrassed. What's going to happen is he's going to be give a wise guy answer, and the demographic, the particular demographic that is supporting him, is going to say, "Yeah, give him hell. Enough of this PC stuff." And you know, people will be where they want to be. They see him as an outsider, and that's why they're supporting him no matter what stupid thing he may say or what insulting thing to women he may say. And by the way, while we're on the subject, it's always extraordinary to me how many women are supporting him. So I don't agree with you, but that's all right. I haven't agreed with the last four people who called up.
I have more faith to American people than you do, with all due respect. Yeah. People at the end will go to vote, and they say that I'm not going to vote for this comedian.
Okay, well, let me just say that I just saw on the CNN, 66% of the Republicans say they haven't decided who to vote for. So you may be right. You may be right. Guven, goodbye. So long. Have a good time.
Thank you.
1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. We're going to take a short break, and then we'll be right back. So if you're Bill or Rich, stay with us.
Support comes from Capital Wine, corner of State and Lark Streets in the heart of Albany, offering local, domestic, and international wines, spirits, and special orders. Tastings Friday 6 to 9, CapitalWineAlbany.com. Curtis Lumber, specializing in kitchen design featuring Cambria, quartz countertops, Merlot cabinetry, and more. Designer consultations available, CurtisLumber.com. Saratoga Chamber Players, bringing musicians together from Europe, Asia, Canada, and the U.S. since 1987, with a concert September 20th at 3 p.m. at the United Methodist Church. SaratogaChamberPlayers.org. Kingsway Community Schenectady, New York, offering a continuum of care and services to area seniors since 1975, including independent living apartments, home care, and more. 518-393-8800. And Congregation Shara Tefila, Saratoga Springs, New York, announcing registration for Hebrew School with individualized instruction for kindergarten through bar bat mitzvah, Sundays 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. through May. SaratogaSynagogue.org for registration.
And we are back. I believe we have two free phones, and 1-800-348-2551. Scott in Ballston Spa says, I feel Hillary is being swift-boated over her email server. Too much attention to it. Death with dignity. And by the way, that's one of the subjects on the boards today, and very few people are addressing it. When it's time to go, I want to go. I don't want to linger with cancer and pain. I would rather go quietly and peacefully. I will overdose or shoot myself as a last resort if death with dignity is not an option. What value is one or a few months spent in pain or incapacitated? That's from Scott. 1-800-348-2551. All five phones are being used. And by the way, if I go quickly, it's only because, you know, I want to go quickly. And when it comes around, the general rule is when you say it for the second time, maybe the third time, you're off. Okay, Bill in Gloversville, where everybody goes around with things on their hands. Bill, you're on.
Alan, I love you.
You do?
I and everyone in my family intend to vote for Bernie. And even if he doesn't win, at least the next election that comes around, politicians may think twice about it. However, my uncle laughingly says, I'm afraid people are going to start calling me a communist.
Exactly. But, you know, as Eli pointed out in the very beginning of this show, what if you and I and others vote for Bernie, right? And then he's up against some Republican, and they win, and they appoint four conservatives to the Supreme Court. Then what are you going to say?
Well, in that case,
yeah,
I wish I had voted for Hillary.
That's great, Bill. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate it. Okay, let's go to Rich in Rhinebeck. Rich, you're on.
Hi, how you doing?
Hey.
So I would say that, you know, I have to say largely I would still support Hillary. I mean, to me what's gone on, and her background of Horowitz has been divergent and other parties, you know, character assassination of her,
right.
Whereas, you know, she was so, you know, if all that, you know, sidebar stuff had not come out, then it would be a clear issue. I mean, the one caller said that we shouldn't be looking at the character, we should be looking at the issues. The character is the issue. I mean, the issues are there. But with Donald Trump, it kind of shows you where the mindset of America is at, that they're even entertaining this guy.
Yep.
He's right on with some of the issues, but his character, he's not a guy that you want in office. It'll lead us right down the path that we don't want to go.
No, but your point is very well taken. It is about character. It's about character. Because the person who's sitting up at the top has to make certain decisions, like, should we support the so-called insurgents in Syria? I don't think we have any business doing it. I don't think we had any business going into Iraq. I think a lot has to do with the character of the guy who's sitting on top who makes the decision. So I think you have a point. Thanks, Rich. Appreciate it. Okay, we did Rich. I think you took the wrong one down, Susie. In the meantime, let's go to Chuck in Woodstock. Okay, Chuck, you're on, Chuck.
Hey, how are you?
Well, you know, okay.
I only have a comment. It's weird, but I was watching Trump last night. And the way he moves his hands, the way he crosses them on his chest, the way he purses his lips and squints his eyes, it was uncannily reminding me of Mussolini. Now, I'm not calling him a fascist, but I got a feeling he might have gotten something out of that playbook.
Well, by the way, I've seen, and no way am I subscribing to the idea that Trump is Hitler. I want that to be made, but I have seen those same gestures, because I'm a big fan of Channel 140, you know, I watch the Hitler channel a lot.
Right.
And I've seen a lot of times when Hitler did that, put his hands across his chest, crossed over like that. So it isn't.
Hitler had learned a lot from Mussolini. He admired him in the way he had taken over Italy 10 years before Hitler took over Germany.
Well,
I don't know. It's just scary.
I hear you. Thanks for making the point, Chuck. Appreciate it a lot.
Take care.
All right. We'll go to Beth in Montgomery. Okay, Beth in Montgomery. You're on. Hey, Beth.
I don't know.
You know what happened? Beth broke the rule. Beth, you broke the rule. What you did is you didn't. You're listening over the radio, and you're not listening through the phone. You can't do that. You have to listen to the phone. So,
I'm sorry.
Okay, that's okay. As long as you said you're sorry, we'll forgive you this time. Go ahead, Beth. You're on.
I believe that we should have intelligent choices at the end of our lives. Do you know what I mean? I think if I'm terminally ill, I don't want any extraordinary measures. I think that everyone should have the right to exit when they feel they've had enough.
I absolutely agree with you. How's that?
Oh, no, I agree with you sometimes, Alan, not all the time.
Uh-oh.
I just want to say something about non-politicians like Trump and Dr. Carlson and Serena. You know the movie Dave? Remember the movie Dave? I love that movie.
Yeah.
And I think about time we need a Dave in the White House.
Well, wait a second. Are you making no distinction between the various guys you just talked about? And by the way, I happen to think also, while you may disagree, that Bernie is an outsider. What are you talking about? He's an outsider. He's been in Congress. He's in the Senate.
He's an outsider because he's been the same. I mean, he's an honest person, too. He's not a politician. That's, in a way, non-politician. That's what I really need to say.
Yeah. Hey, Beth, thanks for the call. Appreciate it a lot.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Yeah. Let's go to Mary in Pittsfield. Mary in Pittsfield, you're on. By the way, there are 3 feet phones right now. You want to get on, you'll be on ipso facto right away. There you go. 1-800-323. Wait, let me give them that number one more time. 1-800-323. No, that's wrong. 348-2551. 348-2551. Go.
Are you speaking to Mary?
Yeah, I'm speaking to Mary.
Yeah. Hi, Alan. I wanted to comment on your statement that Hillary was part, or you said that those who are part of the political elite, and referring to Hillary and excluding right. Bernie from this group. Actually, as you know, Bernie's been part of political life for almost 30 years.
I just said so. Just said so. But
yes,
I think he's an. But I still think he's an. I still think he's an outsider.
I heard that after I had made my initial comment.
Yeah.
And you have to think of Hillary and not as part of the political elite. She's a woman of great achievement. She's the first woman who's had a chance to become president of the United States, and to label her as one of the boys, basically, which is, you know, a political elite shorthand for.
Sure.
And I just heard something on the radio this morning. I don't know if it's so. But Wall Street Journal, which I know is a right-wing rag, but...
Did you say left-wing? You mean right-wing. You mean right-wing rag.
I said right-wing.
Okay, sure.
Rag.
Yeah.
Yes, yes, alliteration. But according to the Wall Street Journal, the programs he has proposed would cost in the many trillions of dollars.
Right.
And I'm afraid, you know, we get into a general campaign with Bernie, and the cost of the programs he has proposed will become a matter of very considerable criticism.
Okay, now, Mary,
people like to hear these things,
okay,
but
Mary,
they don't want to pay for them.
Mary, hold. So let's assume that you think you heard right. I didn't say that she was part of the political elite. I said I think her poll numbers are going down because people perceive her as part of the same old political elite. Now, you don't disagree with that, do you?
No, but I think repeating it, more people who listen to serious commentary such as yours, they buy into that, okay?
God forbid I should say anything that people might buy into. I mean, you know, that's just...
Well,
you know, I can't tell you how many calls I get here, how many emails I get saying, you said this or you said that. How dare you do that? Please, let's give it a rest. For whatever part, we've heard your comment, and I respect it, and I thank you for calling, Mary from Pittsfield. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Okay, let's go to Ed in it says Crystal Bush. Is that true? Is that where you are? Ed.
Hey, yeah. Yeah, it's Ed, and I'm not going to talk about Chandler. I called to say that I remembered a book I read called The Trouble with, What's the Matter with Kansas?
Right.
And that's known as a big tea party, tea bag state.
Right.
But 100 years ago, it was the hotbed of progressivism. And I think that supporting Sanders is the right thing to do right now because the support for the teabaggers is kind of like an inch deep and a mile wide. And, you know, people have been told so long, everything worthwhile, that's socialist. People might get the idea that socialism isn't so bad. You know, I met a right-winger who said, Bernie's a Bolshevik and the Bolsheviks killed millions. Well, I don't see millions being killed in places like Sweden and Norway where people have, a decent, free health care and education and so forth. And I had told the screener I had found some inside information on T. Rump. That's right. A friend of mine told me it's really T. Rump. And I found out, voices told me it stands for Tyrannosaurus Rump.
Voices told you? Hey, Ed, thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
All right. But
yeah, voices told them. Okay, I got it. Let's go to Ron in Chester, Vermont. Okay, Ron, you're on.
Hi, Alan. A couple of things. First of all, I think that we're really in big trouble. Sooner or later, somebody like Bernie has to get elected because we've gone so far down this road that that's really the only thing that's going to save us, I think.
Could happen.
But if he does win, I think people forget this. They just think who's going to win, who's not going to win. But if he does win, it will be because of a popular landslide. And I think he will have incredible coattails in his victory. And all things will become possible. It's not like, it's just like, is Bernie going to win or not? What really is, the question is are we going to really have multi millions of people demanding that he win? And if that's the case, if it isn't the case, he won't win. But if it is the case, then he will have big coattails.
Well, there's another
issue. By the way,
wait. I think there's another issue. I just want to respond to that and say that people say he won't win the primaries in the Kansases and other places or in the Texases. The truth of the matter is that a very small percentage of Democrats or Republicans vote in their primaries. But the people who do vote are the most ideological and the most likely to vote either for the right and the Republican side or the left and the Democratic side, which could portend real trouble for Hillary. Now, go ahead, Ron.
Yeah, and the other thing, I just wanted to pass this along, a little saying that I dreamed up, but it's not the Keystone XL pipeline. It's the Keystone Koch Brothers pipeline.
Okay, very good.
And Bernie will get rid of that for us.
Thank you, Ron. Appreciate it.
Take care.
Right. 1-800-348-2551. We have two free phones. We've got a Kyle in Albany. Kyle, you're on.
Hi, how are you today?
Good.
So I'm just confused about how there's still so many support for Hillary Clinton with the whole server situation going on. And I'm also, you know, she's all about women's rights and everything like that. That's a big part of her campaign. But where was she speaking out when her husband was kind of being a sleazeball, you know, hitting on women? And he has all these complaints with him, you know, trying to go after all these women and stuff and cheating on her and everything like that. You know, why wasn't she standing up for those women that he was, you know, possibly harassing in that certain time?
Okay, Kyle, thanks for that comment. Appreciate it. Okay, let's go to Marie in Newburgh. Oh, boy, there's a lot of free phones now. Marie in Newburgh, you're on.
Hi, I hope I can make myself clear without being angry. can you hear me anyway? My phone is a little...
We can. Speak as loudly as you can.
Okay, great. I want to say that over 100 years ago, Yeats wrote a poem. One of the lines is, "The best lack all conviction, the worst are full of passionate intensity." I think that's what we're seeing now on our screens. We've got Trump there. He's the top of the iceberg, and everybody that's angry is gravitating toward him. And the reason that is, I think, is because there are so many groups around this country that are authoritarian to begin with. You've got nothing against the fire people. I love them, firemen. The corrections guards, the police officers, everyone in positions of authority get together on a routine basis. The Occupy Now people who do their thing once in the blue moon don't do that. As far as I'm aware, I don't see them. They're listening to radios. They're doing their everyday life. They don't realize the real danger that our society faces. I think we've got a fascism coming at us, like a rolling.
Okay, yeah. Okay, that's fair enough. Let me go back to what you started with, the poem. That's poem if you went to a public college, poem if you went to a private college. My question to you is this. Do you think that Bernie, talk about passion, fits that definition as well as Trump?
I think Bernie has the passion, but it's the passion. Well, you want to know how to compare the passions. I think Bernie's passion is trying to reach the people who don't have the passion up front and in groups. I think that Trump has already accessed the authoritarian groups that have the passion, but they're on the right. They're the Mussolini and the Hitler faction. And the people on the Bernie side, I don't know where they get their passion. They don't seem to get it out in the open the same way. They have too much goodness. They have too much kindness. They can't believe that the worst is going to happen to this country or to the world, and it is happening.
I don't agree with that. I think these people who are for Bernie, 20,000 people, 30,000 people go into a stadium, they think things are bad in this country. That's what they think.
But what do they do afterwards? I feel I need to know that they're still there the next day, that they don't feel they just did their duty by showing up once, and that's it. They've got to keep taking on this stuff one at a time and keep on moving. The Occupy movement didn't happen because they stopped going to group meetings, although they were frightened off by the authoritarian people that said, "We're going to put you in jail, you're going to spend time there." Most of these were middle class or older people who couldn't afford to go to jail because they had jobs and families. They just had too much at stake, but they are going to have lots more at stake if the fascism comes to pass in the next 30, 40, 50 years. And I'll be dead by then, but I'm thinking about that next generation. They're going to have to deal with something along the line if they don't deal with it now. And I think we're getting a sampling of what that now is going to look like.
Okay, you made your point. You made it well. Thanks for calling. I enjoyed listening to you. Really.
Thank you.
Okay, let's go to Richard in Dolgeville. Okay, Richard, you're on.
Yes, can you hear me?
I can hear you well.
Okay, Alan, I just wondered if you happened to notice a piece by Joe Klein in the current Time magazine.
Is that lying Joe Klein, the guy who said he didn't write the primary colors when he did? Okay, go ahead. Sorry about that.
Well, I think he did a good job at bringing up a concern he has about Trump's, as he calls it, crazy talk, that he might be inciting violence through his rhetoric. And I thought he did a good job of bringing that point up.
Okay, well, it may be true. There may be somebody who calls up and says the same thing's true about Bernie. What are you talking about? What do you say then?
Well, I don't think Bernie goes around spouting the ideas that Trump is
Well, no, they're not the same ideas, but they're passionate ideas. I love them, but they're passionate ideas, and they are very, very troublesome to the people, to some of the people sitting at the banks and some of the others who are sitting on the top of things here. So I don't see how you could say one, you know, when people get passionate, things could get dangerous.
Well, I think one is humane and the other is self-aggrandizing in some way.
Okay, I got it. Thank you, Richard. Appreciate it. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. You know, this is one thing I love about WAMC. It's our crack engineering department here to fix phones when they break and do other things. So you can see that it's important that you keep calling. If you didn't understand what I just said, too bad. Okay, Tom from Jonestown. Okay, Tom, you're on.
Hi, Alan. How's it going?
Well, you know.
All right. You know, my question is you know, Bernie talked about this the other day on the trail. He said, you know, a lot of people won't tell you the truth about presidential elections, but even if he gets elected, that's not necessarily going to bring the sea change that he really wants. Who do you see in Congress other than Elizabeth Warren who's going to stand up and talk about these issues of income inequality and, you know, can't
Okay, well, let me parse it this way, Tom. What if, as an earlier caller said, there is a sort of popular revolt, and people come out in tremendous numbers and vote for Bernie? If you're sitting there in the Congress, you're telling me that you're going to ignore that? See, that's my answer to you. Uh-oh, something happened. 1-800-348-2551. I think we have a broken phone here, or don't we? 1-800-348-2551. We'll take a break and we'll be right back.
Support comes from ClipCentric Albany, a local video services division of ClipCentric, producing video advertisements for businesses throughout the capital region for web, mobile, and TV. Albany.clipcentric.com. Hudson Valley Goldsmith, New Paltz, specializing in custom design fine jewelry made with conflict-free diamonds and recycled gold. Vintage jewelry and the work of over 20 artists. Custom work in an open studio, HudsonValleyGoldsmith.com. The 1850 House and Tavern, an historic boutique bed and breakfast on the banks of the Rondout River for weekend getaways, retreats, and weddings. Main Street, Rosendale, New York, the1850house.com. Ye Olde Warwick Bookshop, Warwick, New York, a Hudson River Valley bookseller specializing in new and vintage books, with a second shop now open on Windmere Avenue in the heart of Greenwood Lake. yeoldwarwickbookshop.com. And the Arthur Zankel Music Center at Skidmore College, celebrating its fifth anniversary with a performance by the jazz band plus Joshua Redman. Friday, October 23rd at 8 p.m., skidmore.edu/ZANKEL.
Hey, we are back. Okay, from Chris on Facebook, as far as Bernie's electability, I think he has a better chance to appeal to much of poor rural America than Hillary does. She will never connect to the average American the way he has been. That's why he's surging in the polls from many areas of the country, not just the Northeast. He has a sterling record he can stand behind. While she is not seen as trustworthy, if Hillary is the nominee, the Republicans have a better chance of winning. They have a lot of ammo against her. By the way, for whatever it's worth, Chris, that ain't what the polls are showing. Quite the contrary. Right now. And I'm a Bernie supporter, right? And you know that. Hello, everybody. We're back here, and we want very much to hear from you. 1-800-348-2551. I hung up on somebody inadvertently, so they should call back. Let's go to Mike in Half Moon. Mike, you're on.
Hey, good afternoon, Alan. How are you today?
Well, I'm all right until you say something. Then I don't know if I'll be all right.
Well, it's my understanding that that's been exposed that Hillary and Trump are very good friends, along with Bill. And I would like to know what to think of the fact that it's possible that Trump could be a shill for the Clinton and for the left, exposing the vitriol that comes out of people and making it available for them to say such things.
Well, you know, anything, Mike, is possible. Do I believe it? Not for a second. Do I think that this is some, you know, prearranged, thing which these people have come up with in order to elect somebody or not? No, Trump, I don't believe that at all. But then again, as we say in this world, anything's possible. I told you aren't going to make me happy. Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it.
Have a great day. Bye.
Let's go to Mark in Palinville. Okay, Mike, Mark, you're on.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just wanted to make a point that at this point in the campaign, it might be different, especially here in New York, it might be very different to about what you might express about your support for Sanders versus Clinton, say, than it would be right at the primary time. And I think it's what we're doing if we those of us who support Sanders but who wouldn't want to see a Republican get in and nominate Supreme
exactly,
Court justices.
Exactly.
For those of us in that camp, there are a number of ways that can be resolved going forward. One way would be that Sanders could allow his delegates to vote freely in those states where that's allowed. And that would free them up at the time of, the convention to switch if that was necessary.
What about the other way around, Mark? What if Hillary would have said that? In other words,
that would be good too. I mean, what we'd have is some sort of a runoff system, and immediate runoff system, so that you could vote your top choice, and then if it didn't take the total, it would go to the second choice. But my point is that there are ways. I think it's bad for those of us who are, say, more progressive than Clinton's positions are, to not second guess the people in the middle. The people in the middle who will decide the election don't really have an ideological map, and so my sense is that they're less persuaded by the kinds of rhetoric that the extreme right or the extreme left will want them to buy into, and they will. We can't second guess them, and so it's best to support or say we support at this point in the campaign. Say we support the candidate who actually reflects our closest to our values and our political positions. That's
okay.
And this idea that, I remember when Rahm Emanuel called those on the progressive left end of the party effing retards. And around that same time, Robert Gates also criticized the progressive wing of the party for getting in the way of negotiations. I think it was around the health care bill. And the Republicans, I think, very correctly at one time critiqued the Democrats for being too what they called reality oriented. So they looked at the polls. They just assumed that the polls were not going to change much and that they had to adjust everything to what the current polls were instead of actually leading. And the Republicans instead took a position of, let's lead the populace to our position.
Okay. Mark,
okay.
I wish I could give you more time, but
yep,
I cannot.
No, okay.
Thank you for your very intelligent remarks. Appreciate them. Okay. Let's go to Tom in Johnstown. Okay. Jonestown. Okay. Go. Oh, you got cut off, right, Tom?
Yes, I did, Alan. Thanks for taking my call again.
Sure.
Yeah, in response to your thing, I think that, you said, a bunch of people will come into the Senate after that. But, we all thought that Obama's was going to be a realigning election. And, I really think, look at what happened. So many people came out to vote that were progressive.
Okay. But because this is your second chance, now what you have to do is tell me what you want to see.
What I would like to see is people like you saying, standing up, taking to the streets like Bernie's calling for, even after he's elected, if we keep the pressure on people in power to try to, move this populace. But without people actually engaging, it doesn't work. He needs the feet on the ground.
Okay, man. Thanks for the call. Let's go to Michelle in Plattsburgh. Hey, I love to hear from Plattsburgh, Michelle. Come on, let's go.
Hi, I'm definitely a Bernie supporter. I think he's reaching people like me. Hillary is not hitting home for me. She does not relate to my middle class, my rural livelihood.
Wait, Michelle, very quickly, tell us what it is about Hillary that you are having trouble with.
Well, I don't believe that she's for women like she says she is, the middle class woman, the working woman, the single mother. I'm just not buying it. I think
why
Bernie,
not? Why are you not buying it?
Just things she's done in the past that contradicts what she's for now.
For example,
education. Education. She has not had a firm stance on education.
I would beg to differ with you. You know, I'm voting for the other guy, but I'm telling you, I think she's been an education person for years and years and has laid all of that out. So
I think Bernie has more, like the gentleman caller just before myself, has more feet on the ground. We need more feet on the ground.
Yeah, but okay. You know? Michelle, thank you for the call, and keep up good work in Plattsburgh. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Right.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Let's go to Kevin in Hobart. Okay, Kevin in Hobart, you're on.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Speak up, Kevin. I mean, there's a combination of a weak phone and the fact that I'm deaf. Go ahead.
Well, great show. I just wanted to thank you. And I'm just glad to hear another person supporting Bernie Sanders.
Well, if you listen to this station, you hear a lot of people supporting Bernie.
I hear it, and it sounds great.
I want to encourage all the other people, the Trump people and the Hillary people to call, too, because that's how you get a discussion. Go ahead.
You're absolutely right. And Donald Trump represents that kind of populist mood that people are in.
Yep.
And the fact is, a lot of people, after years and years of the Democratic Party backing off of promises, are tired of hearing the same old, same old. And Bernie Sanders represents a real political revolution like he talks about. He is representing, he wants to bring America back to the true greatness that we had during the progressive era. The era where a CEO's pay was only, three, four times what the average person's was.
Yep.
And where people were fairly equal. I mean, of course, we don't want to go back to, some of the racial situations we had back then, but we've progressed a lot as a society, and I think the time is right for a new progressive revolution.
Well, I was watching CNN, and on it, there's a very interesting story about Trump having a Dallas rally and being flooded with Bernie people and anti-Trump people. That's what I was talking about before when I said that the reason that everybody discounts a Bernie being able to win in a place like Texas. I don't think that's true simply because a very small number of people vote in primaries, and those are likely to be to the left of center. We know that.
That's absolutely true. And the only reason Bernie can't win is if people continue to insist he can't win.
Yeah, no, I agree with that.
The fact is we as a country could come together and really make changes and stop the plutocracy and the ownership of everything by corporations, by the wealthiest individuals. And we're not talking anymore about the 1%. Like Bernie keeps saying, we're talking about the 0.1% of society, the handful of people that have vast control over everything from our telecommunications industry
You sound very smart. I want to give everybody a chance. Thank you for calling, Kevin.
Hey, if I ever get a chance, I'd love to speak with you personally, Mr. Sharta.
Okay, man.
Thank you so much. Right.
Let's go to Andy in the car. Andy, you're in the car. You're up.
Yes, Alan. Thank you for taking my call. What I'm concerned about is if the Democrats nominate Bernie and the Republicans nominate Trump, who's going to win the Electoral College? That's troubled me ever since 2000. And we know historically there have been other times in which the popular vote did not go or went to the wrong person based on the electoral vote. So
that's true.
I wish we could find a way to get rid of the Electoral College.
Well,
I'm still thinking about...
There are a lot of ways to do it. One way is to amend the Constitution. That ain't going to happen. The other possibility is, and this is a movement that is happening in many states now, you vote in the legislature to assign the electoral votes to whoever wins the popular vote. Got it? That's an interesting idea. Andy, I hope you're not driving in that car. Talk to you later.
I am.
Well, don't.
Okay, thanks,
Andy. Okay. Let's go to John in Dalton. Okay, John in Dalton, you're on.
Hey, how are you, Alan? Thanks for the call. I just wanted to comment. It sort of has to do with an issue that nobody's talked about, and that's the heroin epidemic this country's facing. I was just wondering if you'd comment on, and not saying that the military's involved in actual smuggling.
Okay, listen, John.
But it is very, I just was mentioned this. We've been in Afghanistan where they grow 80% of the poppy on the planet.
Hey, John, it's a good subject. It really is, but not today.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Okay, let's go to Chuck in Cherry Valley. Chuck in Cherry Valley, you're on.
Hi. I was wondering if you could take me to school and go over all of the negative fog and smoke that has been around Mrs. Clinton since Whitewater, bring us all the way up to today, and then I'd like you to do the same thing with Mr. Sanders.
Okay. If I had more than 3 minutes, which is exactly what we have, I might even attempt some of it, but I can't right now, Chuck. Did you want to make a comment?
I don't know if I can trust Hillary's integrity. There's been so many things and so many accusations and so much smoke that I believe that there's some fire.
Well, but don't you see, Chuck, that's the approach that when, look, let's face it, the Republicans know full well that Hillary is their more difficult candidate to defeat. At least they think that's the case. That's the case. As a result, they're spending all their time on Hillary with all of these things, some of which we now consider to be made up or of no consequences or of little consequences, some which are like the emails, which I sense are really going away as a major factor. So that's the whole point about propaganda. You just keep repeating and repeating and repeating it. So that's my answer to that. Thank you,
well,
Chuck.
I'd like you to tell me what's true.
How would I know? Thanks, Chuck. Okay, let's go to Alan in Castleton. Okay, Alan in Castleton, you're on.
How you doing, Alan? I am calling basically to raise points about a lot of people speaking of this $15, $16 trillion budget that Bernie Sanders is laying out and the cost of his desires for our country, but not a lot of people focusing on the money that could be saved and would potentially be saved on not being the same kind of warlords and this that force their opinions on them and having a passive approach, which Bernie Sanders is
Alan,
very much.
Alan, I'm going to leave that with you. It's a very interesting topic sentence. We have one more minute. I want to try to get one more guy in and then we're done. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it. Let's go to Jim in Saratoga. Jim, you got 1 minute here. Go ahead.
I can do it, Alan. Thanks.
Good.
On the one hand, you've got Trump, who's the rabid dog. On the other hand, you've got Hillary, who's perceived as a machine. Bernie is seen as the revolutionary. And lastly, you have the most involved vice president, who's also seen as a sensitive, caring, feeling human being. I haven't read any position papers, but at the level which most people vote, that's the way it feels to me.
And there are people who are going to tell you that there are all kinds of things to be said about his record because he has an extensive record. But in any case, you know, you make an interesting point. We were sitting around this morning and discussing who could be his vice presidential candidate if Hillary collapses and he gets the nomination. And one name that came up, it's interesting because it should be a woman, I think, was Kirsten Gillibrand. But let's leave that.
Oh, yes.
Let's leave that for another show, okay?
Excellent.
Great to talk to you. Thanks so much for
you
being
here. You too.
Thanks,
Alan. Great show. Bye.
Now, for all of those people who called and who think I gave them the rush, I am so sorry. I always get accused of that, but I try to keep it moving along so that we can get every voice in. And it is good of you to forgive me if you're angry at me for that. We are out of time. Thanks, everybody. Support for the Fox Pop comes from Saratoga Chamber Players, bringing musicians together from Europe, Asia, Canada, and the U.S. since 1987 with a concert September 20th. At 3 p.m. at the United Methodist Church, Saratoga ChamberPlayers.org. Kent Hicks Construction. Kent Hicks Construction, West Chesterfield, Massachusetts, specializing in energy efficient, net zero, passive house, home building, deep energy retrofits, and historical restoration serving Western Massachusetts. KentHicksConstruction.com. Albany Reality Group. I'm so sorry. Albany Realty Group, a local woman-owned real estate company since 2003, educating and counseling sellers and buyers throughout the real estate transaction. AlbanyRealtyGroup.com, AMT Precision Manufacturing, proud supporters of Saratoga Plan, working to preserve the rural character, wildlife, habitats, and scenic views of Saratoga County, SaratogaPlan.org. Thanks again, everybody, for joining us on the Vox Pop. Remember, the conversation continues online at WMC.org/VoxPop. Our engineer has been Zach Malloy. Your calls were answered by Susie Chekai. Our producer's Jessica Blaustein Marshall. I'm Alan Chartok. Stay tuned now for a news update.